All right, we've been on a series about God's will. And let's review a little bit of what we've been talking about. What did we talk about the first week about God's will? Anybody remember? What's that? What? Ask. The overall concept was how do we know God's will? How do we seek God's will? And definitely one of the principles is to ask. That sometimes we forget the simple thing of going to God and going, God, is this your will or what's your will for this situation? What else? Renewing your mind. How do you do that? How do we renew our minds? What's that? It's not talking to God, and it's not primarily actually talking to God. It is spending time in God's word. That as we study God's word, as we understand God's word, because it really is His word. It's a book written by God. That we start to understand His way of thinking, and we allow His thoughts to become our thoughts, and it helps us to make godly decisions. Yeah, definitely renewing your mind is good. What did we look at the second week? Anybody remember? We talked about what God's will is biblically. Okay, we opened up God's word and looked at the places where God specifically says, "My will for you is." What are some of those things? Yeah, for people to know the truth, to repent, to turn from their life and turn to Him and be saved. What's that? To suffer, yes. It's God's will that we suffer and that we trust Him when we suffer. What else? That we talk to Him, and we talk to Him all the time, right? The passage we looked at was saying continually all the time, just talking to God, requests to God, continually having a relationship with Him of communication. Yeah, Mac.
If I remember correctly, that He wants us to that He has good plans for us.
That what?
That
He has plans for us? Is that what you said? Yeah, we actually looked at that the first week, that God has a specific plan for our life, right? A specific will for our life. Definitely, yeah.
Isn't that during that week that we talked about that God wants us to use our freedom to love each other?
Yep, He wants us to use our freedom to love each other. We actually we looked at that last week in how to do God's will, which is we spend our lives pursuing serving others in love. That we don't pursue our will for our life necessarily, but pursue ways of serving others. Anybody remember any of the other ones? Be filled with the Spirit was one of them.
Live a life
what? Yeah, unique. A unique life. A life different than the world around us. Definitely. Those are clearly where God says in His word that it's His will. And the important thing, if you remember from that week, is that we have to start with where God clearly reveals His will. If we're not doing the things that God clearly says, this is my will, we shouldn't even be seeking God's will in other areas of our life, because we need to start there. It's a waste of time to pursue His will in other areas. How about last week? We looked at how to do God's will. Charlie mentioned one of the things, which is to pursue serving others in love. What else do we talk about? Is this thing on? No, I'm just kidding. I'll remind you. We talked about living for eternity, having the perspective of living for eternal things, not things that are only concerns for tomorrow or next week or next year, but things that will last for eternity. And that when we consciously focus our attention on living for things that last, that will change what we do. Yeah, Charlie. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's definitely involved in that. Pursuing him, pursuing eternity. What else? We learned a lesson from Jesus' life. What did Jesus' life teach us about doing God's will? Yeah. Yeah. That Jesus consistently lived his life to do God's will. He clearly said that. My life is about doing God's will. It's not about my will. It's about God's will. And he lived that out. I mean, it was clear in his life that the things that he did, he was pursuing God's will for his life in every circumstance. And his will was secondary to that. Tonight we're going to talk about how to plan for our future, which is a lot of times when the subject of what God's will is comes up, it's involved in some kind of future decision, a decision that's going to affect your future. So we're going to talk about some principles regarding that. So let's pray and we'll get into what we're talking about. God, I just pray tonight as we come together and we open up your word that we would be living in dependence upon you tonight, that we would put away anything that would keep us from pursuing you wholeheartedly tonight and pursuing your word wholeheartedly, and that you would be changing us tonight, renewing our minds as we study scripture. And I pray that our time in your word tonight would change us, and that tomorrow would be different than today because of what we study tonight. Pray that you would work through me, as I know you will, as I'm dependent upon you, and that you'd help me to just be clear, make your word clear to us tonight. Pray this all in your name. Amen. Let's go ahead and open up to Proverbs chapter 3. And I'll just remind you guys that I've started to make your scriptures blue and black. The blue ones are the ones that I'm going to ask you guys to look up, so you guys can be prepared for that. The black ones you're welcome to look up, or you can look up here because it'll be up here. As you guys are flipping to that, Proverbs chapter 3, what page is that? 433. What do you want to be when you grow up? Charlie? A chef. Wants to wear a white hat. Mac? Aeronautical engineer. I can barely say that, let alone be one.
Not surprised, Nate.
What else? Heather.
Well, and be awesome to be a piano virtuoso.
A piano virtuoso. Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
It's like the level of a professional. It's like 10,000 hours you have to be learning to get it.
A virtuoso. What else? What do you guys want to be?
Firefighter.
Astronaut. There we go. What do you guys want to be?
What do you want to be?
I want to be me.
I don't think you ever grew up saying, I want to be a youth pastor.
I actually did. Yeah, in high school. Well, in high school, I actually wanted to be a rock star, but I also wanted to be a youth pastor. What else? What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be, Garrett? You don't know? It's okay not to know. Want to be Ross? Yeah, Ross wants to be a pastor. What do I want to be, Jed? Did you guys dream about this stuff? Like, one day I will be a such and such. What we're talking about tonight is we're talking about planning for our future. Okay, we all have dreams of what our life will maybe look like in 10 years. You know, a lot of us have a pretty good idea of what we want to be. Whether we'll be that, who knows, but know what you want to be. A lot of you guys at least have an idea of whether you would want to be married or not. Maybe not who you want to marry quite yet. Maybe you have an idea of where you want to live, what part of the country you want to live. Anywhere but Alaska. Or maybe you go, I wouldn't want to live anywhere but Alaska. And you guys have some idea of what you want your future to look at, to look like. We're going to look at some principles from Scripture about how to include God's will in your decision making for the future. So we're going to start here in Proverbs chapter 3, starting verse 5. It says this: "It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." It's one of those verses that has been said a lot, been memorized a lot. But a lot of times we even miss the meaning, even when we memorize things like this. He starts out and says, trust in the Lord, trust in Yahweh with all of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Our future, the future in general, is completely unknown. There's not a single person on the planet who knows what's going to happen 5 minutes from now, let alone 5 days from now, or a month from now, or a year from now. The future is completely unknown to us. And people deal with that in different ways. Some people ignore it, and they go, I know what my future is going to be. I have it planned out, and I know exactly how it's going to go. And they fool themselves into believing that their future is somehow secure. Some people try to find security in wealth, maybe not being super rich, but in like financial security. They go, you know, no matter what happens, no matter what goes on with the stock market tomorrow or next week or next month, or maybe if I lose my job, I have security because I have finances that secure, that give me security and make me feel at least somewhat in control of my future. A lot of people pursue education for that end. That if I go to the best school and I get the best degree, then that's going to ensure my future. That I will know that if I go to Harvard and get a law degree, that I am going to be a successful lawyer. That's going to happen. That's how to secure my future. Some people do it with family. They pour their lives into their families. And that brings them security because they know if something goes wrong, I can depend on my parents, I can depend on the other people in my family, and that gives me some security for tomorrow, for the future. Some people put their trust in the government and go, you know what, I live in the United States. Things are going to go well for me compared to other people in other nations because if I fall on hard times, I've got welfare and I just know that I'm going to be secure because we're the strongest nation in the world. And, you know, and so they pour themselves into this idea that there's security in the government that we have. some people just abandon the whole thing and go, you know, I'm just going to live for today. I'm not even going to think about tomorrow. It's like the future is not even going to happen. And I'm just living for you know, the next day. We are called not to rely on any of these things, not to trust in any of these things, not to find our security in any of these things. Instead, we are to look at the future for what it is, unknown, boldly look at it and go, you know what? It's unknown. My future is unknown. Everyone's future is unknown. 5 minutes from now is unknown. But I'm going to trust in Yahweh. I'm going to trust in my God, the Lord. and I'm not going to trust in him just a little bit. Like, some people go, you know what, I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to trust in the security of my family, and I'm going to trust in the security of some money, and I'm going to trust in my education, and I'm going to trust in my government. That's not what we're called to, and that's a wasted trust. Those things are empty. We're called to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Going, God, my future is yours. I recognize that my future is yours. It's his anyway. It really is his anyway. But it's our response to go, it's our responsibility to go, God, I'm going to trust my future to you. I'm going to trust the next 5 minutes to you. I'm going to trust the next week to you. I'm going to trust my next year to you. Because you know it. You know my future. I don't know my future. And you are trustworthy. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Put all of your eggs in one basket. That's the basket of God, Yahweh. In all of your ways, submit to him. Which means in all of your choices, in all of the choices that you make every day, every month, the big decisions, the small decisions. But tonight we're kind of talking about big decisions, so we'll focus on that. The big decisions that you make, the choices that you make, dedicate them to him. Submit them to him. Give it to him. Okay, I don't know where I'm going to go to college, but I trust you. And once you make that decision, I'm going to go here, you commit that to him. You go, God, this is for you. This is yours. My college experience is yours. My senior year is yours. And when we do that, he gives a promise. He says, he will make your paths straight. Which really means that he's going to make your path, your life, easier. He's going to remove obstacles out of your life. He's going to straighten out your road. A road that would be really tough and windy. We've got plenty of those in Nevada. I remember winding down a million roads as I was growing up in Nevada, going through mountains. And he's going to straighten those out. Straighten your life out. If you trust him and you commit your future to him, he's going to make your life easier. Really, it's the bottom line. Easier. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. Oops. I already had it up here. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. We talked about this scripture in our first study this time, but I just want to touch on it again because it really speaks to this issue. Which is that God knows the end result. God knows the future, right? God knows all of the ends of all the roads that you're taking in your life right now. You don't know those. We like to fool ourselves into believing we know those. But he really does know those. And all of his plans for you, all of his plans are for your good. Not to hurt you, but to help you. And his plan is full of hope and full of promise for the future. We're talking a little bit about this in discipleship group, but it's surprising to me that a lot of people view God's will as something like, okay, if I pursue God's will, I'll do it because that's what I know I should do. That God, and I do trust you. Yeah, I'm gonna follow your will, God. But I know that if I follow your will, my life is gonna stink. Because God's will for us is to live in a tribe in India where they don't even have running water. God's plans for you, all of God's plans for you, are good for you. Meaning, God's plan for you is the best possible life for you. God's plan is in no way for your to damage you or to hurt you or to put you in some place which is horrible for you. He wants to put you in exactly the place that's best for you, that's good for you, if you'll just submit to him and allow him to direct your path. He has a future for you that has tons of hope and has tons of promise. It's good. It's good for you. And not good for you like green beans are good for you. Thank you. Good for you like really good for you. Good. It's a good life. It's the best life. He wants that for you. Proverbs 16. You guys should already be in Proverbs 4:42. Just flip a couple pages. Proverbs 16, starting in verse 3, says this. It says, commit to the Lord, commit to Yahweh, whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Yahweh works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. We pursue life choices a lot of times in much the same way the world around us does. That we look at our future and people even ask us and we ask ourselves, what do I want to do? What do I want to do with my life? What I want to do with my life going to be the best thing to support my family, my eventual family? And your parents will even encourage you on that. And they'll go, you need to get a good job and you need to get a good education so you can get it, so you can, you'll be able to support your family one day. And we look at our life and we evaluate our life choices based on really our perspective of what is good, which is like the American dream, having a house, 2.5 kids, the family dog. I don't know, that's like the average or something. You know, the family dog, couple chickens in the yard. I don't know, whatever your family, your American dream is. We dream about that and we pursue those things that really are kind of focused on our plans for the future. God's desire for us is to make decisions about our future. I think sometimes that's hard when we look at God's will, is that we go, somehow God wants to make our decisions for the future. Now, God wants us to step into decisions and go, this is the direction I'm going to go. But when we choose a decision, when you decide where you're going to go to college, when you decide who you're going to marry, when you decide whatever you're going to decide, where you're going to live, God calls us, Yahweh calls us to commit to him in whatever we do. God's desire is for us to go, you know what? I am going to be a astronaut for you. I am going to be a rock star for you. I am going to be a aeronautical, astrological engineer for you. That we commit our lives, whatever decisions we make, we commit them to him. And go, this is for you, God. I'm making this decision for you. It drives me nuts when people go, you know what? The ultimate call on someone's life is to be a pastor or to be a missionary or to be whatever you fit into that category of like a super spiritual life. God doesn't desire that. I can guarantee you God doesn't desire most of you guys to be a pastor or a missionary. What God desires for you is to choose a path that is committed to him. Be someone who works on the platform for him. Be someone who works up at the slope for him. Be someone who is a nurse at a hospital for him. Committing your life to him. Saying, I'm going to marry Peter for you. I'm going to marry Susie for you. Committing those decisions for his glory. I'm going to live in South America, for you. I don't know, wherever you're going to live. That we commit those decisions to him. And when we do that, it says he will establish your plans. When you dedicate your plans to God, he will establish them, which actually means to take your plans for your life and make them better than you could ever plan. To make them successful. To bring success to your life plans. And you know what? Honestly, sometimes that means you're not going to be an astronaut even though you want to be an astronaut. Because you commit that to him and you go, God, I want to be an astronaut and I want to be an astronaut for you. And he goes, you know what? You know how what will bring the most success to your life is to take that dream and point it in a little different direction. I wanted to be a Christian rock star. I'm so glad I wasn't a Christian rock star. That's a horrible life. Who wants to travel around all the time, night after night after night? That just gets old, singing in front of people all the time. I would hate that life. But I'm telling you, when I was 17, that's what I wanted to do. And God said, great, pursue that. I made a decision to go to a school that would make me a rock star. I decided to take classes that would make me a rock star. And God turned that around into something way better. Way better. Commit your plans to him and he will make your plans successful. Truly successful. Best way possible. It says the Lord works out everything to its proper end. You make decisions, and see, this is where we get nervous. We're going, I don't know, I could make the wrong decision. I don't want to make the wrong decision. You know what? Make a decision, and God, the one we can trust with our future, is going to work out that decision to its proper end, to the best end for you. The only bad decisions you can make are decisions that are outside of God's will, that are clearly outside of God's will, and we've already talked about those things. Make a decision, he will work it out to its proper end. He says, even the wicked for the day of disaster. He's already got a plan. The people that have chosen not to follow God, they rejected a relationship with God. God goes, okay, I won't have a relationship with you. It's going to work out to its proper end. You don't want a relationship with me now? You don't want to have anything to do with me? Okay, you won't have anything to do with me. It's working out to its proper end. How much more is God going to do for his sons and his daughters the proper end for our pursuits, for the things that we've chosen to do? He's always going to work that out. Proverbs 15. Maybe flip back a page. What? Don't look at my clip art.
Did you draw this?
No. Proverbs 16. Verse 3. No. Proverbs 15, verse 22. So we're making decisions. God's going to work them out to their end. Does that mean we make decisions blindly? No. Okay, that may sound like, okay, you know what? If God's going to work out whatever decision I make, he's going to work it out to its proper end. That means I'm just going to willy-nilly make any decision I want to make. I'm just going to just be making decisions all the time. And God's going to work it out to its proper end. That's not what God calls us to. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Pretty plain, pretty straightforward. That's a lot of Proverbs are. Proverbs are just wisdom. And a lot of times we go, of course, that's it. If you ever read Proverbs, we're reading Proverbs in college group right now. We read a proverb and we're like, obviously, you know, like says something and we're like, of course that's the way it is. That's what Proverbs are. That's what wisdom is. That sometimes we go, that's obviously, of course, you learn that in life, that this is the way it is. Sometimes we read things and we go, oh, maybe that's not how it seems like it is, but apparently it is. This one's just flat out there. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. When you're making a decision, seek counsel. Seek the opinion of people you trust. Wise people. People who have been there. People who have been 17 and deciding what college to go to. People who have been 22 and deciding who to marry. Parents, teachers, youth leaders. And get many advisors. It says, many advisors, they will succeed. Seek out opinions. Get lots of opinions from lots of wise people. And sometimes those opinions are going to conflict, you know. People's opinions sometimes aren't going to be the same. And sometimes they're going to be right in line with what you were already thinking. You're going to go, oh, yeah, everybody's telling me to do this thing that I already kind of thought that was the way I should go anyway. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't seek counsel. Seek opinions. As you make opinions, seek the opinion of people you trust. Okay, so now you trust God with your future. Hopefully you'll do that. You dedicate it to Him. Everything that you do, you dedicate to God. This is for you, God. I'm doing this. You get the opinions of people you trust, and you make your decision. Now you need to come out of your turtle shell and face your future without fear. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I wish I could spend a ton of time giving you guys all of the detail of what leads up to this verse, but this is basically Isaiah speaking for God. He was a prophet of God, speaking to the Israelite people who were about to go into captivity. And he was actually saying, you're going to go into captivity. You're going to go, the Babylonians are going to capture you, take you into captivity. It's not going to be a nice time. And it's because you guys have been denying God and rejecting Him out of your society. And so now I'm going to put you into captivity so that as a society you learn to trust me as God. Okay? The Babylonians, horrible people. Horrible people. And horrible to be conquered by them. They were nasty. It was scary. And God had this verse in there, this passage in there, so that as the Israelites were in captivity, they could draw strength from this reality. It says, do not fear, for I am with you. It wasn't that God was abandoning them and going, the Babylonians are going to capture you, and I'm turning my back on you. He was saying, even in your captivity, I am with you. I am always with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. Yahweh was the God of the Israelites. He had their back all the time, even in captivity. From the start of them as a nation to the time of Christ and beyond, He had their back. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Saying, don't be afraid. I'm on your side. I'm with you. He's saying the same thing to us about our future. Not only has God got our back, but He actually lives inside of us. He surrounds us on every side. God is with us all the time. Even when we make bad decisions, God is with us. When we make good decisions, God is with us. When we choose to reject God, God is with us. When we choose to follow God, God is with us. All the time, God is with us. So don't fear. Don't freak out. He will give us strength to face our future. He will give us help to step out into our future. He will uphold us with His right hand, which just means He'll support us. He's our support system. You know, we always talk about our family being our support system, or what better support system can you get than God? He's our support system. Don't fear. I remember, I don't know if I've told you guys this story before, but I remember I was in eighth grade, which in the junior high that I was in was, I was in the highest grade. And my brother was in high school, and he was a big, like, football player guy. He was buff. And I was getting picked on when I was in eighth grade, and by a couple guys. And I remember, you know, always kind of being worried about whether I was going to get picked on by these guys. And, you know, it was always in gym class because I had these two guys in gym class, and they were punks, and they were always picking on me. But I remember there was this one day, and I don't even know why, but my brother was at school with me that day. I don't remember what the situation was, and because he was in high school. But that day, I had zero worries. Because I was hanging out with my brother, who was, like, way taller than me, way buffer than me, way buffer than anybody who was in my grade, including these bullies. I had no worries, because I knew that day my brother had my back. And actually, my brother knew about the situation, and he kind of took care of those guys, at least for that day. I got to stand up there while he was like, "You don't touch my brother ever again," you know, that whole thing. And I was like, "Yeah, that's my brother." He's like, you know, he's got my back. If we really think about the fact that God has our back as we make decisions and as we walk into an uncertain future, which really all future is uncertain, but really as we step out into things that we're really nervous to step out into, what do we have to fear? What do we have to worry about? God's got our back. What do we have to worry about? Nothing. It's the truth. Questions down there at the bottom. Say, what or who are you depending on for your security? As you look at your future, is God the central character of your future? I'm telling you, that's a huge difference in the world around us. The central character in most people's story is themselves. Is the central character in your future God? Do you really want God's will for your future? I mean, based on what we looked at, why wouldn't you? God only wants the best for you, exactly what is best for your life. Why wouldn't you want that? But do you really want that? Do you really want God's will for your future? And what do you need to do starting tonight? What are three lessons that God is teaching you or reminding you of tonight? I'll give you guys a minute or two to kind of fill that in down below. At least fill in one or two of those for me. I'm going to pray for you guys. Lord, as we go to So What Time, I pray you'd help us to make this real in our lives, that we would be we'd be honest with each other and open with our lives and maybe ways we aren't trusting you or situations that we're fearful of, and maybe even being fearful of your will for our lives, that we can just be flat out honest about that, and just pray that we would be able to encourage each other and make decisions tonight, real decisions that will affect the way that we respond to you starting tomorrow. Pray this all in your name.